Welcome to the Legendary Upside Podcast. My name is Pat Corain. You can follow all of my content at legendaryupside.com. With me today is Matthew Betts at the Fantasy PT, lead writer, injury analyst, and DFS analyst for the Fantasy Footballers. Matt, how's it going?
It's going well, man. We were just joking before we started recording that the offseason doesn't exist anymore for fantasy football, which, you know, if you're listening to this now in April, at least it's April, right? Before it was like, if you're doing this in March, if you're doing this in February, you're a sicko, which we love you for that. But the offseason doesn't exist. And with that, with drafting right now, I think there's a huge edge in some of this injury analysis stuff because we're kind of in the dark where it's like, you know, we don't really know what they're going to look like in August or July. But if you have an idea of what these players that we're going to talk about today will look like, I think you can get ahead of the market, so to speak.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you're a physical therapist, so you actually know what you're talking about here. I do not. And I think one of the big edges for, it's kind of crazy to me that this edge exists, but it definitely does, in my opinion, where you can just like ask people who know what they're talking about and not listen to people who confidently say things they have no knowledge of at all. and it's an edge. And I think in injuries, we have that available to us right now. So now I think some of this stuff, like as we get into the offseason, we have to make, you know, as someone who's putting rankings together and updating rankings every day, I'm making some of these assessments of where I think guys probably will be on their injury timeline and stuff based on, you know, my understanding of the injuries and the news and everything, but it does put me in a position where I can be pretty wrong. And so I think I'm hoping to use this as kind of a reality check on some of the positions that I've taken so far and some of these injured guys. Let's start with Nick Chubb, who is a tricky one for me, because if Nick Chubb comes back and is producing like Nick Chubb at the end of the season, in, you know, we'll probably be talking mostly about this through a best ball lens, but, you know, for best ball, you know, tournaments like the big board, where you're trying to, like in Best Ball Mania, win a week 17 single week contest, you're trying to advance through pods in week 15 and 16, that whole setup, that end of season production is massive. And you're getting Chubb at a point where you could probably deal with like not that much early season production if we're going to go ahead and get some big time production late in the season. But I've been kind of scared by that injury, to be honest. I mean, it was pretty brutal from, you know, my layman's chair here. And I know it required multiple surgeries. I know there was some involvement of like other stuff other than the ligaments, but can you talk us through that injury and where we should stand on Chubb right now?
Yeah, you're very correct. Lots of other stuff, you know, to keep it simple, but I'll break it down kind of in terms of like what you need to know for him. And really this goes back to Georgia, right? When he was in college, it's the same knee that he injured when he was in college. Another multi-ligament type of injury that, you know, truthfully, when he came back from that, it's like, wow, he already beat the odds. He was already an outlier in terms of how he's performed as arguably the best runner in the NFL over the last 5 or so years. So now you have this repeat injury to the same knee. And you're right, it was a multi-surgery type of situation. So basically what he suffered was a partial knee dislocation, which, you know, when that happens, there's a lot of concerns about the arteries and the nerves that go kind of around the back of your knee, which is why he was taken to the hospital immediately at the time of the injury. Fortunately, those structures checked out, so we're good on that front. However, there was additional damage to, you know, not just the major ligaments, but also cartilage, the capsule that kind of surrounds the knee, which is kind of this thick, like fibrous tissue. But basically, it's like an ACL plus situation. So his first surgery happened on September 29th. That surgery was to repair the meniscus and to allow the MCL to heal. So when that happens, you kind of have a delayed recovery in terms of when the ACL surgery actually takes place and when the rehab for that actually starts. And there's rehab literally along the way the entire time. So it's like he rehabs after the injury, has the first surgery, rehabs after the first surgery to prep for the second surgery, which happened on November 14th. So a couple months later, and that's when the ACL was addressed. So you have, you know, recovery, tissue healing from two different surgeries. The actual ACL didn't happen until November as far as the surgery to reconstruct that. And so a long-winded way of saying, if Chubb ever gets back to being who he was before this most recent injury, at this point of his career, I would be absolutely shocked. You know, one of the biggest predictors of success following ACL in year one for running backs is age. So, you know, younger is better, which is what you saw with Breece Hall last year. The other thing is isolated ACL injuries compared to the ACL plus meniscus, ACL plus LCL that J.K. Dobbins had years ago. And so, man, it's tough because he's such a fun player. He's so good for fantasy when he's healthy. I just don't see it this year for Nick Chubb. And, you know, really, I think when we think about November, December, that's when he has a chance to, like, contribute for the Browns, I think, assuming, you know, he's still on the Browns and everything at that point. That's kind of what you're looking at. And really, when you're thinking about, does he have the upside to be this massive difference maker? It's a huge parlay to hit for that to happen in November, December, when it really matters most. So I've taken zero of Nick Chubb so far in the big board or the little board, which obviously is closed a while ago. But it's just a player that it's really tough to see the process coming to fruition, you know, in several months.
Yeah, and he turns 29 in December, December 27th. So it's, right. Yeah, that's a huge bummer. But that's kind of been how I've been playing it because that plus element. And that does seem to me to be one of the edges here between, like, I guess, can you just elaborate a little bit more on, like, the difference between, like, a clean ACL tear and something like what Chubb went through?
Yeah, Chubb's is, it's so unique because this doesn't really happen very much, right? Where it's like you have the ACL, you have the MCL, you have the meniscus, you have the cartilage, you have the capsule. There's possibility of, like, a hamstring injury on top of this with the recovery. That is not the normal, right? Either it's usually like just an ACL or like ACL plus MCL, ACL plus meniscus. But basically, whenever you have just additional things that you have to recover from, it just sets the timeline back further to when the player gets on the field and when the player is truly 100%. So with just an ACL isolated tear, the recovery for that is, you know, I always struggle when I say this because being in the clinic and seeing this stuff, I say it's routine, but, like, everyone is so different. So it's never just, oh, it's an ACL, like, he's totally fine. But the vast majority of the cases are he will be fine eventually from just an isolated ACL injury. But when you have the meniscus, I mean, that's usually about a 6-week to 8-week delay on the timeline. So, you know, you think about guys when you're like, oh, he just had the ACL. Well, if he had the meniscus, he's not running as fast as he otherwise would be. He's not cutting as fast as he otherwise would be, not doing explosive, you know, box jumps and stuff like that in rehab than when he otherwise would be. And so it just takes longer to get back to being 100%, to being back to, you know, not even on the field, but, like, reaching peak performance. It just takes longer. Same thing when you have, like, an MCL. A lot of times you'll see these guys come off of the surgery and people will be like, wait, I thought their injury, you know, was September. And then you don't see the actual surgical date till, like, mid-October. You're like, why did it take so long? Part of the reason for that with MCL is that a lot of surgeons prefer to wait, let the swelling go down after the injury, actually let the MCL heal by itself, which most of the times it will do. It's got really good blood supply, so it doesn't usually need surgically repaired. And then once that's healed, then they'll go in and actually do the ACL. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, which is why I think there is such an edge in the ACL, you know, recovery fantasy football world, is if you can really parse through, like, what actually was done and what structures were involved, you have a pretty good idea of, like, is this actually going to be a 9-month recovery, or is it really closer to 12 to 14 months, which is kind of where, you know, I see the Nick Chubb timeline being.
How different do you see this? It sounds pretty different than, like, Breece Hall, but what about compared to, like, a Javonte Williams from last year?
Yeah, it's so Javonte was pretty similar, and not exact, but pretty similar to J.K. Dobbins from 2 years ago, where he had the ACL plus the LCL. The LCL is not a ligament that heals well without surgery, so almost always that structure needs to be repaired surgically. And again, just like anything else, when you have that second ligament, second surgery kind of on top of it, it just adds more healing timeline, which is why, you know, it's funny to think back on it, but, you know, Dobbins came out and had this little Twitter war with Rapsheet, where he's like, I'll be ready for week one, and Rapsheet's like, I'm here, and he's gonna go on PUP, and we kind of know how that played out. But the other thing with that too, and not to pick on JK with kind of his recovery, but it does add a lot of complications kind of along the way. It's less predictable in that you can get, you know, more stiffness in the knee. He dealt with that, like, stiffness that lingered almost the entire season, had to go back in and get another surgery on top of that to address some of that stiffness in the knee. So the bottom line is just the more stuff you have, the less predictable the recovery can be.
In terms of, like, we unfortunately didn't get to see Dobbins like 2 years off of it because he tore his Achilles then. But Javonte now will get, you know, another year removed from the injury. Is that the type of injury where you expect to see like a guy improving meaningfully in the year, you know, the second year back from it?
Yeah, definitely. He's a guy that I was really hesitant to take last year because of the LCL, knowing it would probably take longer, not just to get back on the field, but actually to be 100%. And, you know, really it was unfortunate because by the time we got to August, everyone was like, he's playing in the preseason. Like, he's definitely going to be 100%. Like, he's going to be good to go. But this is kind of the mismatch in terms of like when these guys do come back, oftentimes there's a period where they're really not 100%. They're just trying to get their feet wet and like get back on the actual field. That's the first hurdle. And then it's like, okay, let's see this guy actually get back to being 100%. And that's the main difference to me when you talk about Breece Hall last year, is like you actually did see that, you know, really in like mid-October on, he kind of was back to himself, especially in December. Dude was just an unreal, you know, player for fantasy. Whereas Javonte, like, he played the whole season, but he never really got there. And it's because of that LCL injury on top of the ACL. This year, I'm interested for sure because his price is kind of the same. You know, it's like the same one as last year.
Yeah, it's even a little cheaper, roughly. I think.
Yeah. And so I'm in this year, especially at that price, whereas last year, you know, I think I took him like twice all offseason. So that's kind of where I'm at.
With Chubb, how, like, the worst knee injury that I'm aware of for a for, you know, kind of a prospect or someone in the NFL realm was Marcus Lattimore. I remember he suffered a really devastating, I believe, knee dislocation, and like that was it. He never played in the NFL after that. So, like, how much distance is there from like Chubb's type of injury to that kind of like true worst case scenario? I guess there's more worst case, but you know what I mean? Like, kind of injury where like we maybe never see the guy again. And the sort of the second part of that idea is there a point where Chubb could fall to, and let's say it's in tandem with him going on PUP to start the season, you know, which I seems pretty likely. Is there a point that, you know, he's on PUP, the price falls, reflects the missed games early on, where you would be interested in Chubb this year?
I mean, I think he'd have to fall pretty far in that scenario, which, like, you know, for people listening to this, like, if you're planning to draft all summer, which I assume a lot of people are, if you do want your Nick Chubb exposure, like, I wouldn't do it now. He's certainly not free, right? What is he going, like, round 8 or something like that off the top of my head?
Pick 89.
It's not free, right? I mean, you got to do something at that price. Yeah. To be worth it. Like, I think he's certainly going to fall past pick 100 by the time summer comes out and we get news, maybe even to the 120s. Like, and then it's like, okay, maybe you could see a case where he gets there. But like I said, it's just, it'd be a massive parlay to hit for all these things to come to fruition for him to get there. I don't see it. I just don't see him being 100% really at all this season.
But are you, I guess with the Lattimore thing, just kind of making sure there's not any worry of him like not playing this year.
I mean, you never want to say one way or the other with certainty, you know, in for sure. April, where there's so much time between now and the start of the season. Like I said, with the J.K. Dobbins situation, it's like everyone just assumed once we got to August, it's like, oh, this guy's fine. Like, let's just draft him, right? He's fine. And then we kind of saw just the complications. So if you're kind of thinking about like players coming off ACL this year, that one or the other is kind of more likely to, you know, have a complication, have a setback, different position. So it's not a one-to-one comparison with like Daniel Jones, but like Nick Chubb versus Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones is certainly more likely to be ready and play and, you know, be good to go and not have a setback versus Nick Chubb. So I do think that possibility exists where, you know, you're looking back and you're like, huh, he barely even played. And when he did get on the field, he was like a 8 to 10 touch guy because that's kind of all he can handle, right? Like, that possibility definitely exists.
Okay. Jonathan Brooks, another running back with a ACL tear, but from what I've been able to gather, it looks like it was a clean tear. I don't know if you've heard this. No one's talking about this. That repaired by the doctor of the Dallas Cowboys. become kind
imagine
of a
not
meme.
Talking about that.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it'll be interesting if he doesn't get drafted by the Cowboys, because now maybe we'll freak out that they know something that the other teams don't. Or maybe it's a very good sign if they draft him. But is that, was that kind of a clean ACL tear? I think December 2nd, I believe, is when he tore it. And then he had the surgery mid-December. What's his outlook?
Yeah, so the actual injury happened November 11th. And then in the Big 12 championship game, they put him on the field for the last kneel down. It was a nice kind of like hat tip to him for his contribution to the team. They put him on the field. He's wearing a brace in that play that he literally just stands in the, you know, in the backfield and the quarterback takes a knee. But it's his right knee. And the surgery, like you said, did happen early December. Now, I haven't been able to track down specifically what was involved. Everything that I've heard has been just ACL, which obviously gives you more confidence in terms of his outlook. But this is also a situation where it's really tricky because he's a rookie, right? And you kind of have I know running back's easier to get on the NFL field and produce, but you sort of do have like the learning curve, earn the trust of your coaches aspect of it. And he's not really going to be 100% this offseason at all. Certainly when he gets drafted, he's obviously missed combine workouts. He'll miss rookie mini camp. He'll miss OTAs. He probably will be on the field in some capacity in training camp, but like certainly not like, hey, go take first team reps and like go take this job. So then it's like, okay, when does he actually sort through all that stuff and also get healthy and learn in the NFL? Like, it's sort of a convoluted conversation, obviously, but it's unfortunate because I love the talent. Like, he's really smooth when he runs. He can catch the ball. Like, all that stuff is really good. He's young. He looks explosive. Unfortunately, we don't have data on his testing, but that is one predictor of success is your athletic profile. Like I said, being young, having draft capital. So my fear with him is like, he kind of slips to like round three and then you're like, when does he get on the field? And
yeah,
does he earn the trust, right? That kind of thing. But as far as his actual recovery, you know, having it be December, I think we should certainly not expect much early season production, if at all. And really not being 100% until November, December, which for best ball is what we care about. So maybe it's a different conversation for best ball versus, you know, like a redraft league or something like that.
Yeah, I've been definitely interested in him in best ball kind of throughout, just because, yeah, his production is going to be back weighted, but he's a rookie running back. That's kind of the idea there. And it's so powerful when it hits. So, Trey Benson has flipped him, which I understand now, but I still like him.
Yeah. One thing too with the Cowboys, you know, it is a running joke, but there actually is a precedent for this. Remember Jalen Smith, the linebacker out of Notre Dame?
Okay.
I don't know, 6-7 years ago, whatever that was. Yeah. He had this brutal injury that there was concern about nerve damage, and he had an ACL plus type injury. The Cowboys head team physician did that surgery. They actually took him in the draft. So okay. I do think there is some signal to this. I know it's kind of a running joke. I've even put it out, you know, on Twitter and stuff. But I do think there is some signal to that they might be willing to embrace a little risk with him if they feel confident.
I mean, if he goes to the Cowboys, it is wheels up.
Him and Zeke in the backfield together, what could go wrong?
I can't handle that. If this bet doesn't work because Zeke, I'm not gonna be able to handle that in stride. TJ Hockenson, while we're on knees. He had a pretty serious knee injury, right? What was the full extent of
that? Yeah, his was ACL plus the MCL.
Okay. And it seems like people are his timeline seems to already include in kind of the public perception that he's going to miss games this year. Is that your expectation that he goes on PUP or something like that to start?
I think it's pretty likely, yeah. His surgery didn't happen till January 29th. So basically right at the end of January, which was pretty late. His actual injury happened week 16. So it was late December. And then he had what I was talking about earlier, where you have the MCL, you really delay surgery by about a month to 5 weeks, kind of let the MCL heal, let swelling go down, do a little bit of rehab, and then have the surgery. So that's why his surgical date was a little bit later. But yeah, I do expect him to miss games. You know, will he land on PUP? Probably. But will he be 100%, you know, September, October? Certainly not. And, you know, he's a guy that I, at his original price, where he was like almost, I think, inside the top 100 when this tournament opened recently. I was like, what are we doing here? Like, what? This is crazy to me.
Yeah.
I haven't taken him once just because people still draft him. I mean, it's not like he was going where he was, but he's still going like, I don't know, pick 110 to 115, somewhere in there. There's always someone in my drafts where someone takes him. Yep. And, you know, you throw in some of the quarterback concerns on top of that with who is it? Is it Darnold? Is it a rookie? Is it a combo of those two? And there's, I'm not a huge Addison guy, but like there's room for Addison to take a step forward too. Plus Justin Jefferson missed a lot of time last year. So it just feels again, like you need so much to go right. Plus the injury for Hockenson to hit that he's a guy I've passed on pretty frequently.
Yeah. Hockenson has been one of the biggest fades in the ranks the entire way.
Yeah, I think that's right.
He's at 146 in the rankings right now. He's at ADP of 122. So yeah, you're not going to get a lot of them, but I'm nervous about how much we see of him when he's back. The Addison point I think is a good one. Hockenson probably ahead of Addison if both are fully healthy, but if Hockenson's getting back from the knee injury and Addison takes a step forward in his second season, all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of like taking on a bunch of risk to get like Cole Kmet or something, you know, it doesn't seem, I just don't really get it.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Daniel Jones, another ACL. What was the extent of his knee tear?
Yeah. So to my knowledge, his was an isolated ACL injury. Okay. And the fact that he plays quarterback gives me pretty good confidence that he will be ready pretty close to week one, if not week one. But everything right now that I'm seeing with him is that he should be fine. And the tricky thing, though, is that like his style of play for fantasy is what we care about the most, which is the rushing, obviously. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'm not expecting that to be something that hits the ground running, literally. Terrible dad joke right there.
I literally did the exact same dad joke. On the previous podcast I was on about Jaden Daniels.
So bad. So I'm not expecting him to be 100% from a rushing quarterback standpoint when he gets back, which Daniel Jones is a thrower, you know, leaves lots to be desired. Yeah. And there's a lot of rumblings like that the Giants have major buyer's remorse on the contract that they gave him. So he's a guy that, you know, with the ACL plus room for another quarterback to play some games, like I'm just not sure he's starting the entire season. Yeah, truthfully.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We nuked him in the rankings. It's kind of what do you win when you win? Because I don't think the Giants are out of the mix of drafting someone. You know, if they could sit tight and maybe they take McCarthy or something like that. And then all of a sudden you're worried about early season production and bench risk at the end of the season. So I've taken him in like a, like I've gotten boxed out and kind of I don't know what else to do. So I'm going to take Daniel Jones and hope he starts some games. But outside of that sort of situation, I think he's in
what a place to be.
Some of these rooms, man, they snap up all the quarterbacks.
You're like, I would kill for Will Levis right now. Nope, can't get him.
Getting sniped on Will Levis is so tilting. You're like, I don't even want this to be a thing that happens.
I know.
But here we are. Let's talk the other quarterbacks because those are Achilles tears, different times of the year. Curious on your thoughts of like the timing of the injury and if that factors in at all, but they're basically pocket passers. I mean, at this point in Rodgers' career, he's kind of a true pocket passer. Cousins always has been. So any concerns with either of those guys with the Achilles?
Not really, no. And a lot of it is just because they are dropping back and getting rid of the football. There, you know, there is no mobility, there's no rushing. There's hardly even any scrambling with either guy either. So the Achilles injury, you know, it'll probably limit Kirk Cousins a little bit this offseason, obviously. And, you know, by the time we get to camp, I think they'll be smart with him. Obviously, they gave him the huge contract. There's no reason to put him at risk for preseason games or, you know, try to make him do stuff in training camp that would compromise that. But I think you'll get positive reports all offseason on both guys. We already got an annoyingly amount of positive reports on Aaron Rodgers all off season or last season rather. So, I mean, his maybe recovery timeline, he'll have just a little bit. He has obviously so much time that there's no concerns. And then with Kirk Cousins, like I said, he is a pocket passer. So yes, he's not going to be, you know, his best self, so to speak, from where he could have been. But I think from the on-field play standpoint, you're not really going to notice a difference.
I'd heard something like that, and I'm not sure if this matters or if it's even correct, but that it was to different legs. Does Achilles for quarterbacks matter if it's, you know, your plant leg or the, you know, your front leg, or is that kind of irrelevant?
Yeah. So with Rodgers, it was the left. With Kirk Cousins, it was his right. Okay. It matters a little bit in terms of your mechanics and kind of how you drop back and push back off. Like if you're in a three-step drop, you know, when you hit your right leg, if you're a right-handed passer, and then kind of pop forward, I would say there's maybe a little bit of that that you're like, if you're betting on one of these guys to like no doubt have no fall off in their production, because of that, I would say probably Aaron Rodgers. But I think the when you're adding that risk in, I think it's so minimal because of how truly limited these guys are in their mobility that I don't think it's a huge concern either way.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think it's probably better, right? The more immobile of the two has the slightly riskier one. So it's like,
eh. Correct.
you definitely weren't going to be running. So it's not a huge deal. J.K. Dobbins, while we're on Achilles, obviously very different with when we're talking running back versus quarterback, just really, really unfortunate injury history here with Dobbins now. But there's reports of him visiting like with the Chargers and stuff. And, you know, let's say he were to land in a situation like that. I mean, wide open depth chart, familiarity with Roman. They just literally bringing the backfield over from the Ravens from a couple of years ago. What would your expectations for him be there?
Yeah, at this point with Dobbins, I mean, it's just been such a rough couple of years. You know, he had the ACL. Then he kind of had the lost season because of the recurring surgery he had and, you know, never really got right. And then week one last year, tears his Achilles, like just an unbelievable stretch of bad luck for a guy that I think we all agree is pretty talented. But he posted, I think it was, look, February 29th, I believe, on his own Twitter, some of his workouts. It was his left Achilles, and it was about 5.5 months post-surgery. And you can see in the videos, his left calf compared to his right calf is not even close in terms of like the muscle size and bulk. So he's still got a long way to go in terms of being back to 100%. And, you know, usually running backs in year one, it's just a terrible bet. I know science is getting better. The rehab is getting better. The actual procedures are getting more efficient. But, you know, it's generally been a losing strategy in terms of fantasy and kind of what you're expecting. So I think his ideal fit in the NFL these days is like a complementary back where it's not his backfield and he doesn't have to be that guy, you know, and really you're kind of hoping for a handful of touches lead to efficiency. That's kind of where I see him landing in the NFL these days. Certainly if you're talking about the late season upside, if there's a week where let's say he does go to the Chargers and Gus Edwards and a rookie they take are out and it's his, you know, backfield, like for a week or two, could he be efficient? Probably, but I just don't know how likely it is that he takes control of the backfield, is the guy from week six on, you know, or whatever. I think that's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, Achilles are so tough because what's your take on Cam Akers? Because it seems to have had a big negative impact on his career, and yet he was productive pretty quickly off the Achilles at the tail end of that first season back from the Achilles, if I'm remembering right.
It was like very cool to see, but it was like the worst thing to happen for him, not for him, but like for people playing fantasy, it's like, oh, like sweet, Achilles are no big deal anymore. Like we'll just do what Cam Akers did and it's fine. And obviously we know that's not the case. His, you know, surgical technique was a little different with what they did. Not to get too nerdy here on the show, but basically it was like a bridge procedure where they kind of like reinforce the ligament internally and it allows you to, you know, load it faster, run fast, you know, sooner in your recovery timeline, do some jumping and plyometrics type stuff faster than you normally would. The issue with that is that, you know, for a running back coming off that procedure, especially when he came back, he like missed the entire season. They just kind of like threw him back and you were like, let's see what happens. Like it's unrealistic for anyone to not have an off season and then just play and be ready to go, you know, and even when guys are healthy and they miss the off season, you can't just, you know, get on the field week one and be yourself. We saw it with Josh Jacobs all year last year, was wildly inefficient, held out with his contract, just didn't go to camp. And it's like, week one, here we go. Step on the field and let's see what happens. So imagine doing that off of an Achilles in 6 months. I mean, almost never, you know, a chance of success there. So it was good that he got back on the field. But again, you know, it's kind of a mismatch in terms of our perception. Usually in fantasy is like when these guys get on the field, everyone just assumes they're on the field, they're good. Where the reality of the situations are like normally they're on the field, but like let's add, depending on the injury, X number of weeks on top of it till they're actually 100%.
Yeah, it's almost like they're playing through an injury still.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah. So Achilles are strange because like Demaryius Thomas came back from an Achilles, right? And he was, I think, is the first year back that he was pretty good, which, you know, wide receiver, not running back, but an explosive type of player. But at the story at running back, I mean, Deontay Foreman, journeyman rotational back, is one of our biggest success stories at this point.
Yeah, and his was really like 4 or 5 years. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but like it wasn't year one or year two, right? It was like, yeah, this guy might not even be in the NFL anymore. And then they're like, oh, he's actually still in the NFL and he's good. And it took, you know, 4 or 5 years for that to actually come to fruition. So yeah, just usually a bet against situation for me with these guys.
Makes sense. Couple of the ankle injuries to get to. Tank Dell. What was so, because, you know, we have the Tony Pollard thing, right? Tony Pollard, actually, it was his ankle the whole time was the reason he was bad. And at the end of the season, he was actually pretty good. I guess before we get to Dell, like, what are your thoughts on that kind of narrative that came out after with Pollard? Because I was pretty bullish on Pollard last season, thinking that the timeline set up for him with the ankle to be kind of, in terms of him being out on the field, exactly what happened. But do you view last season as kind of marred in a way by that ankle injury?
So this one's really tough because entering the year, I was with you. And I think a lot of people that, you know, do what I do as far as injury analysis type stuff were pretty much in line with, like, the normal recovery for this is roughly about 6 months. And if you remember, his injury happened like in the playoffs, I think against the Niners. So could you tell yourself a story where, like, he was limited to camp and limited in the first month of the season? Sure, probably. And maybe that was the case, but for him to continue to be inefficient for another month to 6 weeks beyond that, like week after week after week, I don't know. I'm not sure if he's using that as a, I don't want to make, you know, say the word excuse, but like if he's using that as like, hey, I'm a free agent, I was injured, but look at that second half of the year. Like, I did pretty good. I'm not sure I fully buy that, to be honest. And every injury is different, and I'm not there with these guys. Like, I, you know, truthfully can't tell you what they're feeling. But as far as the usual recovery timeline for that type of procedure, I think he should have been almost 100% close to week one. And if not week one, certainly by October.
Okay. So that would make me feel a little bit better about Tank Dell and Mark Andrews, who, like, how similar were those ankle injuries?
Yeah, very similar, actually. Okay. All three of them pretty close to the recovery timeline, pretty close to the actual injuries that they suffered. And I'm drafting Tank Dell and Mark Andrews as if they're good to go. You know, with Tank Dell, his injury happened way sooner than Tony Pollard. Mark Andrews actually came back on the field, very limited snaps and limited routes, but in the playoffs, I think to their loss to the Chiefs in the playoffs. So he already kind of came back from it. And it's like, okay, that's at least checks the box. And no, he was not 100%, obviously. But the fact that he was back on the field and the fact that Tank Dell's surgical date was December 4th means, yeah, they're probably limited OTAs, but by a training camp, they should be good to go.
Okay. I've been taking a lot of both those guys, so that's pretty exciting to hear.
I'm with you on Andrews. I mean, fifth round Andrews, I almost like can't stop in the fifth round or sometimes
Andrews
sixth
seems
round.
Insane to me. It's insane. The only reason would be if he's not going to be healthy, I would think. But you're if you're in, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm taking him a ton.
Okay. That's that covers all the major injuries I wanted to get to. Is there anyone that we didn't talk about that you think is worth touching on before we get out of here?
I think the only one maybe is Mike Williams.
Oh, that is a good one. Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
His injury was early. I think it was week three. And his surgical date was December 25th. So I do think he will be pretty much ready to go for week one, certainly in training camp, but maybe not 100% until midway through the year. But I think by the time we get to the weeks that matter, I do think he will be 100%. The tricky thing with him, though, is I did a study maybe 2 years ago, and I need to go back and like update the data and like relook at stuff. But I was trying to figure out like what wide receiver archetypes generally do well in year one off of the ACL. And a lot of the time I found that it was oftentimes like these slot wide receivers that really had enough volume to kind of hide the inefficiency, if that makes sense. Like Cooper Kupp in year one was just a smash, but like Michael Gallup, you know, kind of fits the profile, but these big boundary wide receivers that generally struggle to separate that didn't do as well in my study. Obviously, Michael Gallup and Cooper Kupp, we know in hindsight, are not even close to the same conversation as far as the talent and level of player. Right. But like Mike Williams to me is kind of this, fits the bucket of like the Gallup types, you know, he's big perimeter wide receivers.
Similar wide receiver, you know, in who, style.
You know, yeah, and he needs the confidence and that need to go up and get that jump ball. He's not going to win with elite route running, right? Like that's kind of how he plays. So he's a tough click for me because, you know, I do see a path where Rodgers comes back and this Jets team is great. And he kind of has just like outlier 10 touchdown season. You're like, dang it. You know, I didn't get that this year because we know it's in his bag, but he's been a guy I generally pass on just because of the reasons I mentioned with kind of those boundary perimeter wide receivers that don't usually do as well in year one off the ACL.
Yeah, that's really interesting. He's not been someone I'm super eager to take, but yeah, I mean, cause you can see part of it too, is like the lack of competition for targets. Like if he's at all kind of what he was before, then there should be no issues getting some of those deeper targets. And I think also probably pairs pretty well with Garrett Wilson too, like from a real life perspective, and they're going to be doing different things in the offense. You know, Wilson should help give him more single coverage on deep passes. So I've been kind of trying to get like a little exposure, but not a big target for me either.
Yep. I'm with you.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it. Really appreciate you coming on, talking through some of these injuries. Might be good to try to get you back on and talk through the inevitable injuries this summer. If we can do that, that'd be cool. But appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, man. It was fun. I'm happy to come on this summer. There's always injuries that pop up or just like new information on these guys that, you know, we don't know now, but we will
in, that's true as well, you
know, 4 or 5 months. So I'm in.
Awesome. All right. We'll talk then. Thanks again. We will be back this podcast. I'm hoping to get one more podcast squeezed in before I take a little bit of a break and be back for the NFL draft. But yeah, I have one more guest I'm hoping to get lined up before then. See you soon.